This morning's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in this child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. The word of God for the people of God.
You may be seated. I'm always so thankful that God seems to have much bigger and brighter ideas than I've ever had for myself. And it's shocking sometimes how quickly a bright idea that we can have can go wrong so fast. So I had this moment, an epiphany, if you will, as I was kind of flying through the air upside down, that this was a really bad idea. It seemed like a good idea at the time. In fact, I thought I was going to make a little bit of money off of it. My friend had gotten a trampoline for his birthday. And over about 6 hours after we got this thing set up, we tried to do as many crazy, wild things that you could think of to do on a trampoline. I mean, we taught ourselves to do front flips and back flips. We jumped off the top of the house onto the trampoline, all sorts of crazy things that you just should not do at all. And I had in my garage one of those little tiny workout trampolines. You guys know what I'm talking about, the real kind of small ones that you kind of set down. And I figured, if I can do a backflip off a big trampoline, how much cooler would it be to do a backflip off a little trampoline? And my friend bet me whether I could be able to do this or not. And I was like, man, this is easy money. This is going to be awesome. And so I set up, and I was getting, man, this was like the brightest idea that I'd ever had in my life. Man, I was jumping up like as high as I could go, and I finally got like the biggest bounce I could. I went all the way down, and my feet actually touched the ground. And I come back up, and I flip backwards, and it was right as I was upside down in the air that, again, it hit me. Like I said, this was probably not as bright of an idea as I thought it was at first. You see, because that was about as far as I got. I only got about halfway. And then I kind of just came crashing down. I only had 50% of the solution before I just come straight down. And I had at least some sense at the moment to kind of try to tuck and curl. And I got my arm up, and I landed on my arm in a weird way. And that was the closest that I've ever come to breaking a bone. I mean, I got to go to the emergency room and everything. I mean, it was great. I mean, my dad got to do like a splint out of some cardboard boxes that were there. Man, I was looking great. But having to explain to the doctor why exactly you were there was probably one of the hardest moments that I've had in a doctor's office. Trying to explain why I thought doing a backflip off a little miniature trampoline was a bright idea. They didn't seem to buy it at all. You see, we get these ideas in our heads sometimes that they seem like great ideas. They seem like bright ideas, but it's amazing how quickly we find out that we're not nearly as clever, or we're not really as smart as we thought we were. Have you guys ever had a bright idea that didn't turn out very well? Some of you guys are looking at your spouse. I can't do much for that. I apologize. Yeah. It's like some of y'all were looking at your kids. You're like, I don't know. We get these bright ideas sometimes, and it seems like we've got everything figured out. It seems like we've looked at all the angles, because all we see is sort of the goal. All we see is the celebration. All we see is like, man, this is going to be perfect. This is exactly what we need. And then something kind of comes out of left field, and it just kind of falls apart. My father-in-law and I, we were building this barn up in Virginia, and he and I had never done anything of this magnitude before. And as we were building one side of the wall, we kind of put the studs up, and we were kind of framing in some things, and we were nailing boards together. We were getting it all kind of put together, and we were kind of rushing because I think maybe there was some rain that was coming. We got it all nailed together, and we took a step back, and the entire wall just went doom. And I was like, man, yeah, obviously that's what's going to happen if I don't actually nail it in and get everything secure. But at the time, man, that shortcut, that rush, man, it seemed so much smarter if I just get it done quickly. But I ended up just making the job even worse. Sometimes we come up with the brightest idea. Sometimes we come up with a perfect solution. Or sometimes we're so intent on moving in one direction that we miss what's going on over here on the side. And then when that happens in our faith, we miss what God is doing. And as we're reading in our scripture this morning, over the next couple weeks, we've got these series of stories of where God kind of comes out of left field to show some people who thought that they knew kind of what was going on, that God's been up to so much more than we've ever thought. So we've heard the story of Jesus being born in Bethlehem. So here in the days and the weeks and the months that are following, Mary and Joseph are doing all the things that new parents of a firstborn baby Jewish boy would do. 8 days after he's born, they take him to get him circumcised. And then some time after that, they take him to dedicate him in the temple. And in coming to the temple, they do all the things. They follow all the rules that they're supposed to. And they're moving in a direction that has been laid out for them. But something's been happening to Mary and Joseph that no matter how many angels that they've talked to, they continue to have their minds blown by what other people start telling them about their very own son. So if we remember in the first part of chapter 2, where Mary was sort of next to the manger with Jesus, and all the shepherds started coming in, the shepherds were telling Mary all the stories of what the angel had said and everything that had happened and how heaven had kind of burst forth, and there was music and lights and all this incredible thing. And it says that Mary pondered these things. She thought about them. She considered them. And it doesn't say that she made any decision about them, but it says that she stored these stories in her heart. And now we come to a story later on that as they've brought Jesus into the temple and they've made all the sacrifices and offerings and the dedication that they're supposed to, that in the midst of this courtyard, this man comes up to them. This man named Simeon. And Simeon, he comes over, and I'm guessing that he asked. And he takes Jesus, and he lifts him up, and he starts telling Mary and Joseph everything about this little boy. What he's going to do, what he's going to say, how long he's been waiting for. You see, Simeon has been one who is devoted to God and that the Holy Spirit rests upon him. And so as Simeon has said, he's been assured by the Spirit that he would not die before he laid eyes on the Messiah. And he had the sense to know that this wasn't metaphorical or symbolic, that he believed that he was going to wait and he would see the very Messiah that God had for Israel. And as he's holding this little boy, as he's holding Jesus, he knows that this is the moment that he's been waiting for. This is what God has told him he's going to see. And what's even more amazing is how Mary and Joseph react to it. They're amazed. They're astounded. And I think in a sense, maybe they get sort of like we sometimes get. We get this tunnel vision when we're wrapped into an idea or a plan of we're sort of following in one direction. Mary and Joseph are kind of checking the boxes off what they need to do for Jesus. All the things that they need to do for that firstborn Jewish boy. They got him circumcised. They've got him dedicated. And yet, as they're going through their sort of path and plan of what the next couple days and months of Jesus' life looked like, they've got this man that comes out of left field saying, God has been telling me for almost as long as I can remember that he was going to be here. Of everything that this boy would do. And it says that Mary and Joseph were amazed, were astounded at the things that he told them. God is up to so much more than we know. I think as this new year kicks off, some of us have New Year's resolutions, some of us have New Year's goals, some of us have goals that we set in 2016, that we thought about in 2015, that we prayed about in 2012, that we're still trying to get checked off. That's okay too. But all the bright ideas that we have for our new year, of how it can be different, of how it can be powerful, of how we can actually make a difference. Let us not miss how many times our bright ideas sometimes fall short of the bright idea that God has for us. Sometimes God needs to flip a switch. Sometimes we need that light bulb moment where God kind of shows up and says, you're doing okay, but you've been focused on the wrong thing. Why you've been moving in this direction, why you've been doing the things that you felt like you needed to do for so long, I don't want you to miss what I've been doing over here. And out of all the crowds, out of all the distractions, out of all the noise that was going on in that temple that one day, there was a couple people who were paying attention, who were looking a little bit closer, who were looking a little bit deeper. And it didn't make any sense for them to hang out there. It didn't make any sense for them to be waiting. Yet Simeon, and if you read a little bit later in the chapter, in the verses that follow, a prophetess named Anna was there, and they see the plan of what God is doing actually physically begin to unfold forever. before their very eyes. And I can't imagine what Mary and Joseph were feeling, as they had already felt like, in a way, that their lives had been turned upside down. All these stories that had happened in the last couple months, angels and shepherds and lights and pregnancies, and all these ways that their lives had been turned upside down, they get these people who said that this has gone on much longer than months for them. God has been telling this for years. God has been telling them these stories for as long as they can remember, that this child was coming. And this child would turn more than the lives of their parents upside down. This child would turn the very world upside down. And so why sometimes we get that tunnel vision and we look in one direction of what God is doing, God kind of flips the switch and shows us that he's been at work over here longer than we could ever even imagine. A kingdom and a story and an idea that started long before we were ever even born. And yet, we have been adopted into. I imagine that Mary and Joseph needed these moments in a way. That it says that Mary pondered these things in her hearts when the shepherds came in. That Mary and Joseph kind of held on to these ideas, that as they went back to Nazareth, as they kind of picked up their lives, encouraged and strengthened to know that God had been showing them something for only a short time, but he had been showing others something for years. That this was so much bigger than anything they thought. That they held on to those during the difficult times, during the hard times. In one of the Gospels, they had to flee for their lives at one point. And I wonder if stories like this strengthened them while they were on the road, as refugees, as outsiders. God is up to more than you know. As we start this new year, over the next couple weeks, we'll have these bright ideas that God is giving us. Ideas that we can kind of write down or jot down to say that there is something going on during this year that is bigger than we've thought about or even imagined. That of all the bright ideas that we've had, that God has some ideas that he would like to share for us as well. That when you are at a point in your life that you are distracted or you feel like there is so much going on, you're looking to where God is even at work. Sometimes if we look off to the side, if we look to the margins, if we look to where we haven't been focused and we're willing to admit that we don't have all of the answers, we can start to see that our bright ideas that we had, if we put those aside for one moment, that we can see that God has had a brighter idea working longer than we've ever even imagined. This last week, I got a chance to take my girls down to the zoo. We drove down to Montgomery and spent the afternoon going to see the alligators and the jaguars and the tigers and all that. And as we were passing the chimpanzees, my daughter Lavender had a bright idea. She was like, "Daddy, are we going to go by the toy shop?" That's what she calls the gift shop. That's really what she calls every shop. "Are we going to go by the toy shop?" And I said, "Baby, you just had Christmas. You just got a bunch of new toys. You don't need a toy." And she was like, "But think about it, Daddy." And that she said this. She was like, "Think about this. If you buy us a toy that we can play with on the way home, we'll be less annoying in the car." And I thought, that is a bright idea. And I went and I bought that kid a toy. And she did pretty good on the ride home. And in a small way, I was willing to admit in that moment that my focus of saying, "Hey, you know, we don't need another thing, and we don't need another thing, and they don't need another toy, and I don't need to spoil them, and I don't need to do those things," I felt like I needed to at least reward a good idea. She made her case. She argued it well, and she got rewarded for it. Sometimes bright ideas can come out of nowhere. They can come from kids. They can come from strangers. They can come from that person that's walking along the side of the road. They can come by that person that's behind you or in front of you at the supermarket. To be willing to open up your eyes for what is going on around us and what God is doing. Because God is unwrapping a story around us. Whether we see it or not, it's there. Whether we're like Mary and Joseph and we're coming into that temple and we've got a plan and an idea of what we need to do. And whether we're just as broke as they are, and if we were back then, we would be sacrificing turtle doves and doves as well, those young pigeons. God's got something that is working in the margins, off to the sides. An idea that was grown, an idea that has been spreading before we've even realized it. A brighter idea than one that we have ever had in our lives. And yet we are all a part of it, of how it spreads and is given to others. I think the part of the story that struck me this week as I thought about, what if Mary and Joseph hadn't tried to take care of the little things? What if they didn't show up to the temple when they were supposed to? What if they decided to go and to spread some time somewhere else that day? Would they have been where they needed to be? Would Simeon have seen what he needed to see? And would Anna be able to give the prophecy that she was able to offer? We don't really know, because Mary and Joseph did the things that they were supposed to. They put themselves in a situation that they were willing to see something bigger than themselves, to put themselves in an opportunity to see a God that had been at work longer than they had ever imagined. As the band starts to come back out this morning to kind of close us out in worship and to lead us, we have an opportunity to think about what this next year holds. It's not very often that we get to worship on New Year's Eve, and we would be remiss to think of the spiritual implications, the ideas that we can have of how we can grow spiritually in this next year. What are those steps or those choices that we decide that we want to put ourselves in the best possible position for God to see our purpose, for God to be able to put us to work, and to come up with our ideas, but to stay willing and open and flexible enough to know that God is in the business of blowing up our ideas. He's not interested in our bright ideas so much as us just being willing to be used by his bright ideas. And so we come into a space willing to let those strangers, those ones on the margins, on the outsides, show us what God has been doing, and then be willing to be a part of that story. Will you bow your heads with me and pray this morning? Almighty and precious God, we do give you thanks, Lord, for the way that your story includes us, for the way that your ideas are so much greater than any idea that we have ever had on our own. Lord, for every idea of church, for every idea that we have had of how we can save communities or save this world, Lord, you have shown us time after time how short our ideas measure up. And yet you come with ideas that we've never imagined, that not only transform our lives, but can transform communities and this world. That, Lord, where we think that you haven't been shown up at all, you have been at work for years and decades, even from the first moments of creation, a purpose and a plan that was larger than any idea we have had for ourselves. An idea to bring all things together into your spirit and to your heart. A plan and an idea to make creation new again. Allow us to be a part of your ideas. Flip the switch in our lives, that we might see what you are doing around us. And as we walk into this new year, Lord, allow us to walk in your spirit and your purpose, and in Jesus' name, amen.